to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to be talking to you all about The Parent Trap.
Wow, just take my energy and throw it out the door.
Oh, sorry. Was that not enough energy for you?
No, like, really, and today,
your energy was watching. That was me, honestly, like, trying to put energy into it. Like, yours, I don't know. That was me, like, your sound is so fake, and I was like, no, let's...
That's okay. It's an intro. It doesn't need to be real.
Oh, my God. Whatever. This movie came out in 1998. What a year.
Yeah. Aren't they all? So long. 20 years ago.
Whoa.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
And it was 2 hours and 8 minutes, which is about, like... 38 minutes too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so long.
Maybe 31. I feel like we've said like an hour 37 is like ideal.
Yeah, but there was just a lot of... I felt like I watched two movies in one.
I felt like I watched like a season of a TV show.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, this would have been a great...
It could have been like a season of a TV show because like the camp was one episode and, you know, there was a lot going on.
Like, you do...
Too much.
It could have been, like, easily a Netflix movie. I'm actually honestly surprised that this hasn't been, like, remade. I feel like it's about time. Like, this was a remake originally.
I was going to say,
like,
it is a remake.
It should be remade again. Even though, I mean, the plot is very...
Yeah, I think it's
happens
done.
A lot.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say, it has been remade. It's called...
Model Behavior. But, no, like, that was actually... Was that earlier? When did Model Behavior come out?
I don't remember. Hold on. It's, like, right in my notes.
But it's, I mean, it's similar
They're just,
enough,
at, like Freaky Model Friday. Movie. They're just, well, no, not Freaky Friday. That's
yeah, that's
twin
totally
movie.
Not
Sorry,
the plot
bad.
Of Freaky Friday, literally at all.
Just any movie involving twins. There's a whole TV show about it. It's called Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
They didn't switch places.
Whatever. I'm sure they did sometime in that movie.
Oh, my God.
Or TV show. Oh, my God. I'm, like, out of my mind.
Out of our minds. Okay, so this movie was directed by Nancy Myers, who's apparently a big deal. She also directed...
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I saw Bobby Finger tweeted about her this week, and I was like, oh,
really?
God. And he, like, referred to her as Nancy, and I was like, wow,
Do
okay.
Do you know her?
No.
No, I mean, like, Bobby, do you know
her?
Oh,
I don't... I mean, he's not hearing you. But she also directed...
Model Behavior was the year 2000.
Okay, great.
Oh, so, my God, that didn't take a while.
It was a remake of this. That just took a minute.
Sorry, 20 years later. Literally.
What?
I said 20 years later, literally.
Oh, okay. So Nancy Myers also directed It's Complicated, Something's Gotta Give, The Holiday, and The Intern, and one of these is better than the other ones. Can you guess which one I'm talking about?
The Holiday,
about?
Obviously.
Okay, clearly,
but,
the
like,
holiday.
I feel like they're all variations of the same movie. Like, she they're definitely all... has, like, they all have the same, like, vibe, you know? I feel like they're all, like, weirdly, when I was seeing these movies, I'm like, okay, like, The Holiday and The Intern... I know, like, just from recent memory, they're like, quiet movies, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, everything Nancy Myers said, which besides Parent Trap, is, like, quiet and, like, subtle.
They're,
and,
like, comfy movies.
Yeah, exactly.
If that
exactly.
makes sense.
Like, they're not, like, there's not craziness going on. It's just kind of, like, subtle.
Mm.
Yeah, they're, like, soft movies.
Yeah, this is, like, the adult contemporary
Definitely.
Film genre. Cool. That's...
God, we got
that.
That
was a lot.
Yeah. Deep dive. Thank you, Nancy. So, starring in this movie, introducing...
Oh, my God.
Lindsay Lohan as Hallie Parker and Annie James.
Wait, was this actually introducing her?
Yeah, it said it in the... Did you not see the credits at the beginning of the... Or the
this will be...
No, it was the L is for...
Oh, just kidding. Sorry.
But it said, like, in the fireworks, introducing...
Oh, wow.
Lindsay Lohan. This is her first feature film.
Okay.
So her known fors are Mean Girls, The Parent Trap, Freaky Friday, and I Know Who Killed Me. What a star. fun facts about Lindsay. She started modeling at age 3 and has worked as a model for Abercrombie & Fitch, A&F Kids, and Calvin Klein Kids.
Yeah, only kids. Only kids.
Yeah. Once she... grew into that red hair and freckles. They were like, no. Nah.
Also known for lawyer.com.
Yeah, and currently representing lawyer.com because I want my lawyer to come from the internet.
Honestly, I feel like Lindsay Lohan, like, knows her way around lawyers. It's all been discussed before. I feel weird, like, talking about this.
Yeah, I feel like every major, like, media outlet has discussed Lindsay. Yeah. And, like, that's why they got Lindsay.
So we're discussing it because we are also a major media outlet.
Exactly, exactly. We have to cover pertinent news, especially when it... You know,
I don't even have media in my job title anymore. It's really sad.
Oh, no, I don't either. But it's funny because all I do all day is consume media. It really should be my job title. Incredible. Hopefully my bosses don't listen to this.
Okay. Also in this movie is Dennis Quaid as Nick Parker, and his known fours are The Day After Tomorrow, Far From Heaven, Frequency, and In Good Company. I have heard of one of those movies.
I have never seen any of those movies. Yeah, why? I remember him from The Rookie, and I feel like that was his, like, prime performance.
I don't know. Life. Sure.
The baseball movie, where he's, like, an old man?
Yeah, I'm not really, like, a baseball person, so...
Okay.
He will be playing George W. Bush in season 3 of American Crime Story Katrina.
I thought that which was a great I didn't even find. Know. Exactly. Like, I am doing some, like, great investigative reporting on these people.
This is, like, too far in advance, I feel like. Like, I feel like this might be the...
They
like,
have the entire cast.
This might be the Zac Efron starring in Footloose version of... Dennis Quaid. No, but I mean, maybe it's true. I can kind of see it, honestly.
Okay, you don't watch... Do you watch... You don't watch What Happens Live, right?
No.
Okay, well, just bear with me. You know what it is. Mm-hmm. But the last time he was on Watch What Happens Live...
What if
he,
I was like, no, I don't know what it is?
I mean, you
explain
know
explain it to me.
I mean, I definitely know you know. But the last time he was on... And they talked about it on The Toast. He, like... went out, he was like totally out of his, he was bonkers, like
pretends to be shocked.
Yeah, but I didn't know, I always thought like Dennis Quaid was like a dad, you know, because he plays like a dad in every movie I ever saw him in, and then seeing him on Watch What Happens Live, I'm like, whoa, it's like my dad does like, you know, LSD and goes on a TV show. It's so, it's crazy.
Wow. I mean, that's...
So, if you want a good thing to, like, completely change your perspective of Dennis Quaid, go watch him on Watch What Happens Live.
Or maybe not change your perspective, if you, like, already know. So, when singing with his band, Dennis Quaid and the Sharks, great name, this podcast was originally Miranda and the Shark. You're the Shark.
Okay.
Miranda and that. Olivia and the Shark. The Shark is Brody.
Aww.
Aww. But anyway, he always plays with bare feet in order to feel comfortable as if playing in his living room. What a weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that because of our next fact about him. I don't want to say what a weirdo. I feel bad.
I mean, that part of it is a weirdo.
This is like our saddest starring slash known for section that we've ever done, I feel like.
Nah, I mean, whatever. Maybe. They could all be this way from here on out. Who knows?
Wouldn't be the first
Who
time.
Who knows? Investigative journalism. Hey, I only dig up the crazy sad things.
At least we know about it this time. It's
exactly.
Not like
I feel
Tsunami
like I have to be fully...
Like,
no, it was...
Lee Thompson Young, where
no,
I just
but
didn't
that was,
know.
It wasn't... oh, yeah. Okay, it was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get ahead of...
Oh, great. You're trying to get ahead of, like, me being dumb.
No, cool. I'm getting ahead of the bad press here.
What's the bad press? A text from Lindsay?
Exactly. I want to be in the know.
Hi, Lindsay, by the way.
Sup, girl?
Do you want to do the next point?
Oh, sure. Okay. So, Dennis Quaid battled anorexia in the mid-1990s, which started when he shed 40 pounds to play Doc Holliday in...
Wyatt Earp? I don't know.
Oh, sorry. And, in Wyatt Earp, I've never heard of this movie. Quaid comments that I'd look in the mirror and still see a 180-pound guy, even though I was 138 pounds. He eventually sought treatment and recovered. Good for you, Dennis.
I feel like I see myself the opposite way.
Exactly. Totally. And, like, I wish I could have that fluctuation. Like, that'd be great. Also in this movie, what?
This is just so sad because liked her.
I do love her. Also starring in this movie is Natasha Richardson, who plays Elizabeth James. Her known fours are Asylum, The Parent Trap, Wild Child, and Made in Manhattan, which I don't remember. Oh, is she like the
I don't know.
I don't remember who she plays in the wrong Manhattan. I thought that was weird. But she actually passed away suddenly in March of 2009. On March 16, 2009, she received a serious head injury during a private beginner skiing lesson at Mont-Tremblant, 80 miles outside of Montreal in Canada. She appeared to be fine and initially refused treatment.
I'm laughing at Montreal in Canada. Yeah,
She appeared to be fine and initially refused treatment. That afternoon, she developed a headache and was taken to a hospital in Quebec. And that evening, she was transferred to the ICU at a bigger hospital in Montreal, where she was declared brain dead. The next day, at her family's request, she was transferred to Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, where she was removed from life support. And I actually remember this because...
I have vague memories of this,
too. Yeah, I remember when it happened because it was, like, really... It was so random and crazy and...
Yeah, which brings me to, like, your point down below. Anyway.
Oh, and, yeah, growing up, I remembered this movie. I always thought that Natasha Richardson looked exactly like Princess Diana. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure as a child, I actually thought she was Princess Diana. And, like, I thought Princess Diana was, like, an actress
That's who
was
so cute.
In The Parent Trap. Like, that was just something I thought. So, I...
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, they both had dramatic and untimely ends.
True. And, you know, to be even more relevant to today's, you know, things, I thought that the Princess of England was an actress before she actually was an actress. So, in my heart, Diana will always be the first actress.
Okay, you thought Princess Diana was an actress.
Yes.
But now you're like, oh, Meghan Markle is an actual actress.
Exactly. Okay. It's just like my life is complete. The circle is
done. I mean, Meghan won't be a princess, but it's fine. Anyway, yeah. I always thought that this role was Emma Thompson, which is interesting that, like, Natasha Richardson was married to Liam Neeson from 1994 to 2009, because Emma Thompson and Liam Neeson are in Love Actually together.
Isn't Emma Thompson, like, a bit older?
Yeah, she is, but to me, they, like, I don't know, I think it was the haircut again. Like, I think it was being little and being like, oh, these, like, two people have the same haircut, which is probably similar to you and Princess Diana.
Yeah, but I feel like she definitely looks like she could play Princess Diana in, like, and she, like, dresses the same way, you know, she, like, in this movie, which I think was the only Natasha Richardson movie I've ever
like,
seen.
The, like, chain smoking and drinking.
But that, like, just that, like, poise, that very, like, British poise, and I'm pretty sure Natasha Richardson is British.
Probably.
And she lived in New York City and was very good friends with Andy Cohen. She like very much reminded me of Princess Diana.
This is like the most Andy Cohen heavy podcast that we've done.
Oh, please. I could go on for days. But she was also married to Liam Neeson from 1994 until her death in 2009.
Yeah,
I think she had a kid with him, but I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I hope so. Okay, really quick, like, conspiracy theory. It's a bit of a departure, but it's fine. Hold on. So, her character in this movie, her character's name is Elizabeth James, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And this is a movie about twins, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Elizabeth James is very similar to Elizabeth and James, which is the label of, like, the two most famous twins ever, Mary-Kate and Ashley. And I know that it's their other siblings' names.
I was going to say, isn't it their
I'm
other
very
siblings'
aware,
names?
But it's just like, we live in the Matrix, nothing is real, you know?
It's all a Handmaid's Tale universe, apparently.
That's, the Handmaid's, you haven't watched, you don't know.
No, but, you know, I know it's a thing that you like to do.
I don't think The Parent Trap takes place in The Handmaid's Tale universe. I feel like it's too pure.
Yeah, probably. I would agree. Xenon. I would agree. Sure.
Which is definitely not too pure.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, let's move on. So, the lady who plays Chessie, her name is Lisa Ann Walter, and her known fours are The Parent Trap, Bruce Almighty, Shall We Dance, and Glow. recent, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Maggie Wheeler, who plays Marva Culp Jr., the, like, second-in-command camp counselor.
In this movie for 2 minutes.
Yeah, right. Like, 25.
That's true. It was a long movie.
Yeah. So, her known fours are The Parent Trap, The X-Files, Justice League, and, of course, Friends, where she plays Janice. Oh my god.
I don't understand, but, like, I'm sure it's cool. I'm sure it's a big deal.
It's hilarious.
Okay.
You fell asleep? Okay. The box office take for this movie was $11.1 million domestic opening weekend for a wide release. The U.S. gross was $66.3 million, and worldwide, it made $92.1 million. And for some reason, I thought that was kind of low. I feel like everything I anticipate being much higher, because they were, like, staples in my life as a child. And yeah. Then, like, they're just never... I guess it's better than some of the ones we've been doing.
And they were also probably, like, staples in your childhood, because, like... they were bought, like, on VHS, yeah, and, like, rented and we never from do Blockbuster.
See, yeah, we never do see, like, what the VHS and home video profit or money, whatever, sales and, like, are for these.
And this
these
movie, movies. Like, being on cable all the time. Like,
yeah,
all that
but
stuff.
I mean, I'm sure, like, the VHS or, yeah, this is 98. Like, the VHS sales in this movie probably, I mean, while it did make 92 million in
I owned this movie on VHS.
The box office, I feel like the VHS sales were, like, a thing. Where, like, yeah. They're not anymore, you know?
And I watched this movie.
Box, like, office is
every day
now.
When I was a kid. Like, every day.
I mean, I didn't watch it every day, but...
I had, like, movies that I would watch every day. I watched, like, this movie. I watched, like, Mary Poppins. Like, lots of movies every single day. It's fine.
Mary Poppins is a good one. We should put that on the list.
I
think that one was, like, the 60s.
Yeah,
like,
it's a long
really
time ago.
Old. But... Julie Andrews.
Ugh, we love. We still need to get her gift basket in the mail.
Yeah, her and...
Kenny Ortega.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll include a note for Dove, because they're together right now, but...
Yes.
It took me 19 minutes to mention Dove Cameron on a podcast about a movie about twins. Aren't you impressed?
No.
Olivia is looking at me with hatred in her heart.
It's not even hatred.
Just
it's just...
okay. Exasperation, truly.
Yes, that's
you can
like
tell
it.
Olivia is exasperated by how much she interrupts me.
Sure. Okay. So, moving swiftly forward.
Moving swiftly on.
Would you like to take this?
Oh, sure. So, our first piece of trivia is, when Lindsay Lohan was 11, she pretended to be ill so she could skip school and go to her first movie audition for The Parent Trap, which I definitely knew kids in school that did this, but I think that's
really?
Just a California thing.
Oh, yeah. Nobody did this in my school. Also, this is just the beginning of Lindsay Lohan's delinquency.
It doesn't set a good example.
It started early.
It's not a good lesson to learn.
No, that, like, there are things more important than school.
No, there's nothing more important than school. That's just, it's, you know, okay.
The twins in this version of The Parent Trap are named after the daughters of director Nancy Myers and producer Charles Shire.
Mm-hmm.
Annie Myers Shire and Hallie Myers Shire.
Oh my god, imagine going through life and your last name is Myers Shire.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Meyer Shire.
Yeah. Both of whom have small parts in the movie. Hallie plays a girl at camp in the beginning who asks where the Navajo bunk is. And Annie plays the towel girl at the hotel who brings Elizabeth the first aid kit. Obviously, they're not twins.
Mm-hmm.
The character whom Hallie Myers Shire plays, conversely, is named Lindsay. Oh, how
that's
funny.
Cute. I definitely was wondering at the beginning when
that
girl... That
would be so confusing if, like, everybody has, like, someone else's
you're
name.
Like, Hallie, and, like, five people turn around. But I definitely was wondering who the girl at the beginning was, because I was like, why are they giving, like, this girl such a,
like
a
role.
Front
like,
and
yeah.
center
oh, yeah.
K cameo.
I feel like the little boy who's, like, the boy at the camp is definitely related to someone also. I just didn't do that much.
That was so unnecessary and weird. Like, yeah. I remember that being a much bigger deal. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I remember being like, oh my god, like, there's a boy at this all-girls camp. And, like, this time watching it, I was like, he'll deal.
Well, and, like, also, what kind of parents send this? Like, it's Camp Walden for girls. Like, they make it very clear. It's
so clear.
Like, if you're, yeah, like, who processed that paperwork? Like, there are lots of channels that I feel like would ensure that this didn't happen.
Yeah, do you think, like, his sister is at an all-boys camp? They, like, had 2 plane tickets and just gave him the wrong ones? And,
like, how did, like, he got on the bus. Like, the bus driver wasn't like, you're a boy. Like,
you're a boy.
Like, how did this kid get all the way to camp and no one realized that this... Or, like, you're on a bus with all girls and he was like, wait, this is a girls' camp. Like, there's just so many... Yeah. So many loopholes for this character. Like, we could make a whole movie about this stupid character.
Yeah. So, another one. For her split screen...
Shoot this now. There's an idea for you.
What?
For...
What was the idea?
Make... A movie about this kid, about the boy who gets...
Wow.
There you go, Matt Donnelly. Great. A movie about the little boy who gets sent to an all-girls camp.
No, I will say a movie that I do want to see. I want to see a movie that's this movie, but solely from the...
Remade, we heard. The beginning. You want to see a remake of this remake?
I want to see this movie, but solely from the perspective of Chessie and the butler guy. What's his name? Nigel?
Martin.
Great. In my mind,
solid guess, Nigel. But yeah, educated guess, but no.
Who has a butler named Nigel? Let me know.
I mean, I feel like it's like a British name.
Yeah, Martin. Is that what you said it was?
What?
I really immediately forgot.
But, like, Martin. What kind of a name is Chessie?
I mean, it's fine. You know,
it's not a name.
Maybe her name is like Francesca. I don't know.
Chester. Okay.
Anyway, for her split screen scenes. Wow, that's a tongue twister. Lindsay Lohan wore an earpiece which would play back the dialogue from the other sister. Of the other sister. Not from the other sister.
I put this in the notes, and then, like, the more I made notes on this movie, I was like, I feel like this is pretty standard.
Like, yeah, you know, because what I'm saying.
You know, people who don't, I've heard of people who, like, don't. Especially, like, on like soap operas and stuff, if they don't memorize their lines or, like, can't get all the dialogue memorized, they wear an earpiece where someone is just reading them the dialogue.
That is the dream. That's also Lea Michele.
Yeah. Lea Michele because she can't read. Yeah, why didn't they put that into the theory? It's not that Ryan Murphy helps her memorize. He just, like, talks into her ear. But, like, I know they do that.
That would have been great. Like, do a study of, like, do we ever see Lea Michele's ears?
Yeah, exactly. What do her... I feel like she wears a lot of... No... Not really, I don't know. But she, but like I feel like hair. This is pretty standard. Like, this wasn't, like, earth-shattering that she wore an earpiece that, like, played the dialogue back to her so she wasn't just talking to... Also, they could have had a person stand in and just read the dialogue back to her. Like, she had to have a special earpiece.
Yeah, I think that's how they did it in Liv and Maddie. But, you know...
What, had, like, a person? Had, like, a stand-in? Yeah, and she had...
And there were 2 stand-ins. There was 1 for Liv and 1 for Maddie.
Well, and Lindsay Lohan had a double. Like, had an acting double. So it's like, why did
she...
She
had a stunt double. Double.
It was an acting double. I don't know if it was a stunt double.
So
because the action-packed stunt work in this movie...
But, like, apparently it was... So during the booby-trapped cabin scene, I cannot read, where the water balloon has dropped onto Annie's head... One of Lindsay Lohan's photo doubles required a needle fastened into her hair so the balloon popped quickly, which honestly seems more dangerous.
Exactly.
But the balloon was so heavy that simply dropping it, then hitting someone's head, would not have been very likely to pop it. Have you seen people do, like, the condom challenge? Where they, like, fill water up in a condom and then it, like, goes on their face? Okay. And this seemingly fun and silly stunt was actually very dangerous, risking serious neck injuries from too much weight force coming down on top of the stand-in's head and neck. Yeah, I mean, that does sound dangerous. You, like,
wait, and
the
reason why, from my physics experience in college, the reason why it doesn't break is because, and, like, why a smaller one breaks is, like, it has to, like, the surface area of,
yeah.
of the balloon in, like, your
mass head. To surface area.
Yeah, exactly. All that good stuff. But, like, this just seems a bit overly dramatic. Also, the... Okay, like, a needle, unless it has, like... How are they pinning a needle into her hair? Like, I don't understand how that would work. And also... On the opposite side, you get a barrette and a thumbtack.
And you know how, like, a barrette has, like, two thingies like this?
Oh, that's good.
You put the thumbtack in between.
Because I'm thinking of, like, a sewing needle, and, like, both ends are still... Like, the other end is still sharp, so if it's just, like...
I'm sure they figured
something. You could get drilled in the head.
Put, like, a toothpick in the eye of the needle, and then, like, bobby pin that in. I don't know. There's ways.
But, like, neck damage. Okay.
There are so many fun facts.
Like, I think we're being, like, so ridiculous with this.
The scene where Annie and Hallie are lying in bed and the camera pans from the moon to the parents' picture to the twins took 6 hours to get right. Are you kidding? Lindsay Lohan had to change from Annie to Hallie and back all the time.
Ridiculous.
How'd they do that, though? Because of hair. Had they already cut their hair?
I'm sure she had a wig or something.
I don't know. Okay.
The scene where Annie and Hallie... Oh, wait, sorry. The secret handshake consists of...
It's trying to background noise.
Go. Oh, I was like, seriously? The secret handshake consists of 18 moves, and it took Lohan just an hour to learn.
Seems like a long time.
Yeah, I'm not impressed.
No. She was 11.
Whatever.
So Lohan had...
All the school she was missing.
Lohan had her ears pierced, especially for the role, but in the UK version of the film, the ear piercing scene was cut so as not to encourage underage piercing, which is probably good.
Is, like, underage piercing, like, an epidemic? Like, is that a thing people do?
But I wouldn't want to encourage 11-year-olds to pierce their ears with, like, gross needles.
Did you watch that scene, though? Like, that
yeah, it was
isn't
awful.
Encouraging anyone to... Like, when I watched that scene as a child, I was like, I never want to get my ears pierced. I will pass on that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no, we use these little gun things. Like,
people who don't know that joke will be like, why is she saying parsed? Don't
worry about it. Oh, it happened. Probably three more times in this.
Yeah.
I was randy and ready to go when I was listening to this or watching this at work today.
Wow.
An oddity for a Disney film, this one shows Elizabeth, a Disney mother, both smoking a cigarette and getting deliberately drunk. At least they have a mother who stays alive throughout the entire movie.
One of them has a mother.
Yeah, one of them has a mother. Also, this is something I have... This is farther down. Well, but they treat their children like property, so...
It's ridiculous. So, yeah. Also, Aaron Mackey, Lohan's acting double, is 7 years older than her. Mackey now works in musical theater, and she played Glinda in the Chicago, Los Angeles, and Broadway, productions of Wicked. I wonder if Montana knows who she is.
Probably. She's arguably more successful than Lindsay Lohan.
Disagree. Mean Girls.
But, I mean, like, currently. Okay. Like, well, currently.
Sure. She probably, like, has her life more together, because, like, she gotta be there.
Yeah,
she
has her shit together.
You know? Okay, so before we get into the plot, we just like to give you a few little plugs to, you know, give you something to do while you're listening to this. I don't know, you're probably busy.
Wow.
Cool.
I know you're super busy.
I love selling it. So to find like tons of information about this, you can go to tbtamp.com. It's a very cute website. And then also please rate and review us on the podcast app. You can also just rate or rate and review. It's fine.
Scroll to the bottom of the podcast app. Click five stars. And tell a friend about us. Because spread the word of TBTAMP like you would the word of Jesus Christ. Because charity starts at home, y'all.
If not more, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Just be an evangelist for TBT.
Everyone needs to know. So, like, when you do go and meet your secret twin that, like, you never knew existed... Tell them to subscribe to our podcast and tell them to listen. you know?
Or just anyone. Maybe it doesn't have to be a secret to anyone. Just literally anyone.
Yeah. I would also recommend going to our Instagram and looking at the people that follow us and seeing if you find your secret twin. And then also following us, too, so that your secret twin can find you.
Yes. Follow us on Instagram at TBTAMP. Follow me, Olivia, on Instagram and Twitter at MacIsCheesy, M-A-C-K is cheesy.
And me at Miranda Johnson on both Instagram and Twitter. And then our Twitter is also at TBTAMP. But, like, Twitter's hard. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, check out our Redbubble store. You can buy all kinds of good stuff.
Stickers.
You can get there.
There's a pillow in there.
Through our website. Yes. Again, tbtamp.com.
I think it's on, like, the top right side of our website. It just says shop. Click on that. It's the easiest way. But, like, there will also be a link in the show notes.
Exactly. All right. So, getting into the plot.
Woo, the plot. Okay. Do you want to read the first point or should I?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
We open with a lovely song playing as the Titanic passes slowly in the night.
What were you singing?
Oh, I thought you were singing the Titanic song. Like,
The snaps are so fun. Okay, you can talk. You could have talked
so
about
So we see
going.
A couple, Nick Parker and Elizabeth James, getting married on the ship. Before it hits an iceberg, signing their... Did you see the clothes that these people were wearing on this boat?
Yeah.
Like, it was literally like the Titanic, and this is supposed to be like the early
90s. It was
90s.
The formal dinner night.
Okay. So, this couple gets married on the ship. We see them signing their marriage certificate. We see fireworks, general celebration. Cut to 11 years and 9 months later, a line of buses heads into Camp Walden for girls.
What a switch, you know? Yes. Like, what a transition.
Yes, exactly.
From the Titanic to a summer camp.
Yes, exactly. In Maine. Cool California girl, Hallie, tries to get her duffel bag out of a heap of bags and enlists the help of two strangers who immediately become her friends.
Because when you're a child, that's all it takes.
Yeah, I wish I knew that, you know, trick. Yeah. A limo pulls up and uptight British suit-wearing Annie steps out with her butler, Martin. Both girls are clearly identical.
Yeah, but no one notices.
Nobody. So the entire opening scene, as I said before, appears to be set in the early 1900s. And as they're sitting at dinner, like, drinking their wine and whatnot, this giant camera that, like, gives off smoke is what they're using. Like, I don't know what year. Are they ghosts? Like, it's so weird. It's very strange.
It was 1986 is the year it was supposed to be.
Yeah, also known as 1921.
Cool. And at the camp, when they're, like, opening up on the... And everyone's, like, getting off the buses and everything, these two girls are, like... They literally say, "Oh, my God, my phone just does not work out here." And then the other one says, "Oh, my God, how are we ever going to live?" And it's like, wow, that, cool. This movie was actually set in 2018.
Exactly. I would be saying the exact same thing.
Yeah. Olivia, question. Did you ever go to camp?
I went to horse camp.
Oh, my God. Of course you did.
It was not overnight camp. It was not overnight camp. So it was based in, like, I had...
I did day camp, too.
Yeah, I was... And my horse was there. So it was basically like I went and did, like, manual labor and my mom paid the lady.
It's like an internship. You literally pay to do work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, looking back on it, I'm like, why would you, like, what? But I actually was a camp counselor for my school district had fourth grade camp. And it was for, like, 3 days that when I was in high school, they people who do well in school to be camp counselors, and you got to miss, like, 3 days of school. And it was a nightmare. There was like a black widow spider outside of the front of our cabin. I had to be responsible for children. It was a nightmare. And it's not on my resume, so...
Good. I mean, it's also from high school, so I feel like it shouldn't be,
but... like, honestly, it should be, because,
If we could cover a movie that happened in the same year, it shouldn't be on your resume.
Honestly, it should be, because it's like one of those things that if, you know, it's...
I feel like you have a real
resume builder if I didn't include the year that happened.
I feel like you have a very eclectic resume.
I don't know what that means. Love like, I don't know what, like, I don't know, like, what you're implying from that, but...
I'm implying that you're very multifaceted and you have a lot of very different interests.
This is true.
I'm saying, like math major to law school to whatever you're doing major. Now, you know?
No, but yeah, I definitely span. I'm all over the spectrum.
You're well-rounded.
Honestly, not really, but but okay. Also, there's like, oh, did you ever go to camp? You went to day camp?
Yeah, day camp, that's it.
Were you ever
it.
A counselor?
No.
Were you ever in charge?
Yes.
Oh, I mean.
I was never a counselor, but I was definitely in charge. Have you met me?
I
mean,
I think I was a counselor and I wasn't in charge.
I would have been your worst. Honestly, you probably could have been my camp counselor and you would have hated me.
I mean, I don't remember anything about the kids. Like, I think I've like, like blacked it out. Like,
yeah,
it was very like a mutual, like, I'm just here so you guys don't kill yourselves.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it was very much
you
mutual.
Were the Marva Jr. in this situation. Oh my god, this that, podcast, no one knows.
I know, but like I had to get that in. So there is also a child just walking, literally wearing a bicycle helmet in this same. Scene. So
I'm currently
that.
Wearing a bike helmet. You just can't tell. I really wanted to celebrate this occasion, so...
I don't know the last time I wore a bike
say
helmet.
I'm wearing a bike helmet now, like I'm not always wearing a bike helmet. It's an anxiety thing. I'm just like really protective of my head. So I'm always wearing a bike helmet.
Okay. I've also always not... Okay, so Marva Sr. like rubs me the wrong way. I don't know why,
so
but
rude.
She just
She's
like...
Fine.
She just like seems like she would be the worst, okay. You know?
Marva Sr. is like the older lady that's yeah. in charge of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a little...
The like sugar shaker lady.
Yeah.
She's just strange. She, like, yeah. doesn't seem like she's a lot of fun. Like, mm-hmm. she's, like, the person who's, like, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean. Like, she's that lady. Also, why would a British family send their child all the way to the U.S. for a summer camp?
I don't know. I feel like you could probably, like, get better results from, like, sending your kid to, like, France, you know?
But because there's, like, British countryside. I'm sure there's, like, a camp or
there's
something,
There's a
know?
Lot of British countryside, and it's beautiful.
And, like, they probably have camps or something, you know? Like,
yeah, shout out to all of our listeners in the UK. I see you.
Yeah,
that's our
I mean,
second most
like
populous country.
It's quite, it, you know, it just, this is ridiculous. That it, yeah. Like, it, from the jump...
This from the just, jump over the pond.
This movie is
crazy.
Is not working. But anyway.
So, in the cafeteria, Marva Sr., Olivia's fave, immediately confuses the two girls. Later, Hallie beats a girl at fencing, and Annie walks up and decides to take her on, which is so convenient because they wear masks, you know? So, like, they yeah. don't know. So, both girls are clearly very talented fencers. Strange. But Annie ends up winning by pushing Hallie, I keep wanting to say Haley every single time, over a railing into a water trough.
Why Hallie, is there a water trough?
Who knows?
When there's no
Maybe
animals.
It was just like a bin and it had rained, you know?
That's
it also
rain.
Seems like they wouldn't want like open water because
Standing
they wouldn't want to attract
mosquitoes.
Animals too.
Yeah, but like if you have a water, like it very much clearly like looked like a water trough.
Yeah.
For horses or some kind of
Maybe
livestock.
Maybe there were horses.
But...
I don't know. It's camp. Anything can happen. Anyway. So Hallie pulls Annie into the trough with her. And then when they turn around to shake hands, everyone gasps and realizes how much they look alike. However, the magical moment is ruined when Hallie decides to pick apart Annie's appearance despite having literally the exact same flawed features herself. It was rude.
Yeah, it was. Also...
She had a better haircut, though.
The short hair? I liked the long hair. Ugh. It was cute. But what kind... Like, did you notice that they were wearing uniforms? Is that weird?
I don't know. Do I mean, I feel like summer camps are gonna, like, even my day camp gave us, like, t-shirts to wear, you know? Like, if we were going somewhere, they'd give us t-shirts.
It just seems like it would be very easy to pack for this camp, because they're just like, they give me clothes, except for my suit that I wear on the airplane.
And then they wore the same one on the way back.
It's like, and it's like a 12 hour, like, a skirt suit is not what I want to wear on that flight.
On the way back. So it's only like 10 and a half on the way back. Actually, okay, no, it's even shorter than that. It's from Maine.
Yeah.
So it's not even that long. It's like 6 hours or something.
But still, that's not what I want to be sitting in on a plane.
Fair.
But that evening, I think I skipped something.
Yeah, I just don't really understand, like, this summer camp having fencing. They're like, oh, cool, let's give the children swords. That's a good idea.
Like, but they have, like, they're not like real swords, but like these kids are very talented fencers also.
I just feel like it really fosters a culture of violence, and it's really not sending a good message for these children.
From the fencing I've seen in the Olympics, can't they like only, it's like very narrow. They have boundaries. Yeah, like they can't just run all over the place. It's like they are in like literally a like 2 foot wide box that they cannot escape from.
It's probably like a meter or something.
Yeah, but like, and it's long and narrow. They're in like a rectangle that they can't leave.
Yeah.
So this didn't make any sense. I don't know anything about the rules of fencing, but I do know that that's it's just not like
the rules of fencing.
Yeah, exactly. A feminist of fencing. So that evening, Annie is showing her card shark, showing off her card shark skills, and she has already won all the money from the other girls in her cabin.
And also, like, nail polish and lipstick and stuff.
Yeah, scrunchies.
Which was strange.
A scrunchie
has to be worth, like, a nickel, you know?
Yeah, and, like, it's used. So, like, take your scrunchie back. That's not worth the same as my nail polish or, like, my dollar.
If I was, like, packing for camp, I would, like, specifically bring, like, my empty dried-up nail polishes to, like, barter in this poker system.
Like, fill them with water. So then Hallie walks in to the tune of Bad to the Bone wearing sunglasses. Wearing sunglasses at night and swinging a sock full of quarters.
I paused and counted. There were like, it was literally, it was like $12 in quarters.
But like, I was like, does she like do her laundry at an apartment complex?
No, like, I was like, this is what dreams are made of.
I know. I was like, I wish I had like a full like tube sock to put my quarters in.
Oh my God. But you can't get one clean because you don't have any quarters.
Vicious cycle.
Wow. Vicious rinse cycle.
So how
so many puns, I'm sorry.
Oh my God. So Hallie beats Annie's straight flush with a royal flush, and Annie, as part of their bet, has to jump in the lake naked. Hallie and her friends steal Annie's clothes. Didn't feel like that was that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't. I thought that was like a bigger deal
earlier. When I was a kid.
Like, it's an all-girls camp. I guess you're cold. Like, it's Maine. You're really cold.
I think in the summer it's probably nice though. Like, yeah, they swim.
It's still Maine, you know?
And it's in the evening.
Like, you're north of Toronto. Like, it's cold.
I think it's not supposed to be more about the temperature. I think it's supposed to be about, like, the embarrassing thing. But, like, when I was a kid, I thought this would be, like, crazy embarrassing.
Yeah.
But as an adult, and, like, even when I was, like, the stupid shit I did, like, funny. Even in high school.
If you just laugh it off, it's not embarrassing.
Yeah, no. But, like, as a kid, it would have been embarrassing. Yeah, but, like, true. I did this stupid shit. Like who hasn't skinny dipped?
Who knows?
Good times.
So, the next morning, Hallie and her friends return from playing basketball to find that Annie and her friends have somehow moved all of the furniture in Hallie's cabin onto the roof, which is impressive.
This is impossible.
Oh, okay. I say impressive, you say impossible. That's
I don't
fine.
Think about a 3 11-year-olds can lift a bed in a frame.
Oh, no. Like, they definitely couldn't.
With
but
a ladder.
Still. And
there's
then they
no
also,
way.
Like, you knew it was Annie, because she, like, put a UK flag.
What's that called? The
Union Jack.
Yeah, the Union Jack flag. Yeah. With the cuppy thing on top of it.
Cuppy. Okay, so to retaliate, Hallie and the gang sneak into Annie's cabin. Annie, I almost said, because they say it in an accent. Annie's cabin. That night, and prank all the girls by pouring honey on them, drawing on them with shaving cream, rigging water balloons to drop on them and stringing ropes across the room. Hallie and the gang watch all of the chaos go down, but soon notice that the Marvas, are about to walk into the cabin. Hallie tries to hold them off, but they power through her, because she's 11, and they get honey dumped on their heads and feathers raining down on them from the fan in the process. It's impressive that this bunk has a fan. Also, I just want to say, like, instead of cleaning this all up, they should just burn down the bunk and start over. Like, there's no need to, like,
they just need to go find more Lincoln logs and be done with it.
Literally. Yeah.
Also, there's no way they could have set, like, what sedatives, what roofies did they give these girls that night? Because, like, if you're stringing, like, string across an entire room with, like, six girls sleeping in it.
Yeah, no.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
The impracticality.
Yeah.
So both Hallie and Annie are sentenced to the isolation cabin, with conflict flaring again the first night as they fight over the light in the room. On a very rainy day, Hallie is hanging pictures on the wall and a gust of wind blows them down. Annie helps her shut the window and a friendship blooms over eating Oreos and peanut butter.
I have thoughts, but it's fine.
They both realize that they have only one parent and the same birthday. So they begin to realize that they may be more connected than they originally thought.
They are so slow on the uptake here, but okay. So peanut butter. No one eats anything with peanut butter in the UK. Like, no one eats peanut butter. No. People just don't like peanut butter because they don't, like, do peanut butter.
Why?
Like, peanut butter is an expressly American thing. They just don't like peanut butter.
It's a good thing.
That they do, like, butter and jam on everything. But you wouldn't.
Butter? Like.
Yeah, like clotted cream, butter, etc. Like, they just, no one has peanut butter on anything. So it would be really weird if, like, Annie actually did do Oreos and peanut butter. We were talking about this a little earlier, but the isolation cabin is, like, my ideal living situation. Like, it just a cabin by yourself in the woods. It's, like, rainy. It seems so cozy. That's, like, my ideal situation. Also, another thing about, like, the UK and everything, how has Annie never heard of Leonardo DiCaprio? Like, I'm fairly certain that he is an international phenomenon. Like, why have you never heard of him?
So this movie was made in 1998. Maybe. When was the Titanic?
Before that.
No, it was 97. So, like, he was just becoming big.
Okay, whatever.
Maybe they hadn't released the Titanic in the UK yet.
I mean, I don't think that's the case.
I don't know.
You never know.
She's also 11.
And then also, she doesn't know that California is the other side of the country, because she's like, oh, I'm from California. She's like, how far away is that? It's like,
far. I mean, I've been in an
just
Uber.
Just as far.
I've been in an Uber where a girl who was sober asked me, I asked where I was from, and I said St. Louis, and she's like, oh, that's in New York, right? And she was an adult female. So, I mean, I feel like it's not the worst.
Okay, but St. Louis is, like, a city. California is, like, a state where the most people live. Yeah, but
if she's from the UK, why the fuck does she care about U.S. state geography?
I feel like they do.
I mean, I don't know.
Let me know. Anyway.
Anybody from the UK, please let us know if you guys learn the states, because I can write down all the names of the states and capitals in 6 minutes or less.
Sure. What section of the country, what section of the island of Great Britain is Wales? Where's Wales?
No idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't Scotland or Ireland north? And Ireland and Scotland are close.
That's so embarrassing. I mean, Ireland is its own island.
Okay.
And then Scotland is the north part of Great Britain.
Oh,
England is the south part of Great Britain. And Wales is the west part of Great Britain.
See, like, I know, like, I'm pretty good at the rest of European geography, but, like, UK stuff, mm-mm.
No.
And, like, I know that, like, the Nordic countries are up there, like, Sweden and Norway. And
so one of...
Scandinavia?
Sure. One of... This is a little quiz.
This is
little
getting more and
in
more.
The middle. So,
I do love geography, so let's go.
One of Ireland, Northern Ireland, Scotland, England, and Wales. One of them is not in the United Kingdom. Which one is it?
Northern Ireland.
No, Ireland.
Oh, okay. Well, I was close.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because the full name of the United Kingdom is the United Kingdom of Great Britain, which is the main island, and Northern Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Why?
There's a whole history to it. Anyway.
I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So, the soundtrack to this movie is so good.
Yeah, it's the soundtrack to this movie is really good. I was, like, listening to it later on while I was, like, taking notes, and it was good.
You can definitely tell there's the full Disney budget going into this movie, you know?
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah. I think it was a cover, but you get, like, Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah.
You get, like,
Elevate. I mean, I think it's, like, pretty... I don't even think they're covers. Like,
Here Comes the Sun was definitely a cover.
Well, yeah. I'm about to embarrass my... Isn't Here Comes the Sun Beatles?
Yes.
Okay. Like, it wasn't the Beatles. The Bad to the Bone was, like, the original. Like, a lot of the stuff was the originals. And the scenery, the homes.
Yeah.
It was just...
We'll talk about the London home in a second.
Full Disney money was put into this.
Yeah. Okay, so, while all Hallie can think about is food, same, Annie, who's clearly a smart twin, starts to put everything together. They both realize that they have half a photo of their absentee parent that they keep with them at all times, and they both put the photo together, and miraculously, it fits together, making them long-lost twin sisters. I guess having the same birthday and looking exactly the same didn't do that.
Yeah, there's, you know, written in the stars. I feel like... That, like, if I found out I had, like, a long-lost missing twin, I would be much more excited. Like, I would have, like, a much bigger reaction than they had. They were just like,
yeah,
oh, my God, crazy. And then that was it. Also, Mom and Dad would have some splaining to do.
They really would. And, like, the whole situation and is, they like, never think, so like, messed up.
Yeah, they never think, like, because, honestly, if this happened to me, I would be like, freaking out, like, what the fuck? This is nuts. And then, two, calling Mom and Dad and be like, what the fuck? Like,
and also, this would never happen to you. Because this would never actually happen to anyone.
No, because my parents love me. And, also, this, like, seems like it could be, like, almost illegal. Like, I don't think any lawyer... Like, this kind of, like, custody situation would just never happen.
Text Rourke and ask her if this is a possibility?
But, like, I took a year of law school, so, yeah. Like... And, like, this is just, like, what kind of a parent would be, like, cool with only having one of their... This is just so crazy.
What kind of mother would be okay with this? What kind of father would be okay with this in the first place?
This is just insane. But, yeah, so anyway. I would be, like, and they, like, seemed way too cool about it. But, anyway, that night, while the girls are catching the other up on, you know, their missing parent...
Yeah.
Hallie has the bright idea for them to switch places. Mm-hmm. After some convincing, Annie relents because she wants a dad too. They begin teaching each other the basics of their own respective lives, such as their immediate family and Annie's handshake with the butler. More dramatically, Annie has to both cut her hair and allow an 11-year-old to parse her ears with a needle and lemon wedge. Camp is finally over, and thank God, and the two must say their goodbyes as Hallie travels to London to meet Mom and Annie travels to wine country, Napa, California, to meet Dad.
Yes. The model behavior girls could have learned so much from Hallie and Annie, mostly just preparation and studying so that they, like, knew what their lives were like.
Yeah, but they, like, met and, like, switched within 5 minutes.
In the day. Yeah.
Yeah. In a bathroom.
They could have just, like, kept in touch for a minute and then, like, switched.
Yeah, yeah. A day maybe, later. Like, thought about that and didn't, like, act on impulse.
They weren't
so
the
much.
Smartest.
Yeah. On the plane to England, so it's Hallie, not Annie, but on the plane, Hallie wishes over and over, please like me, please likely, like me, about her mom, but it's like, it's your mom, one, and two, if she likes your identical twin, like, I don't think you have too much to be worried about.
No, it's not, it's not really a problem.
No, like, that would be kind of sad, like, if her mom's like, ooh, yeah. Like, you're the twin I don't like.
Mm-hmm. So, at the airport, Martin doesn't even blink an eye that an 11-year-old girl got her ears pierced in the middle of the woods at a summer camp because he's just so excited to see her. Their private car, complete with driver, pulls up to their giant, beautiful white mansion in one of the world's most expensive cities. So, obviously, wedding dress design is very lucrative, and that's what Elizabeth does. Hallie begins by taking a big ol' whiff of her grandpa and finally gets to meet her amazing mom. And then in our notes here, I have a link, and it is, and the link is to, an article all about the house where they filmed this. It's, like, only used for the exterior shots, but it's fine.
It's so pretty, though.
So it's in, I believe it's in Knightsbridge, which is literally, like, the most expensive area in London, and it's very nice in, like, West London. Like, this is the dream. Like, this is my dream. Stunning. This is anything that I would ever want. And actually, I like this actual house more than I like the house in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
If that makes
so
sense. Like,
more.
The interiors and stuff. The interiors are, like, perfect white and, like, very
the
modern.
It's
and
white
beautiful.
Walls, and then it has, like, dark wood floor, like,
yeah.
black wood
Which
floor. And
also
that
would
kitchen.
Have been,
oh,
like,
God.
An all-white house. I get why you wouldn't want to, but it's cute for a wedding dress designer, you know?
Yeah,
that, like,
exactly.
Your house would be
oh,
all white.
God, completely.
And the house is a cool 14 million pounds. So,
yeah.
A lot. Like, so, a lot.
Yeah.
That's like $20 million.
Yeah. Put your pennies in your piggy bank.
Yeah.
Start
I
saving.
Mean, never. Please go buy stickers on our Redbubble.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
As Hallie and Liz are catching up, Martin finds Cuppy, the stuffed dog toy of Hallie's, while unpacking her luggage for her. She is able to convince him to save the stuffed animal, and Liz invites her daughter to a photo shoot with her when she is unexpectedly called in to her dress
Office.
Store. Yeah,
yeah,
dress store.
Atelier, if you will.
Sure. after averting a veil crisis, Hallie and Liz wander the rainy streets of London, where Hallie attempts to slip in a few questions about her father.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I need to talk to you about the F word. And Liz is like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, father. And she's like, oh my God, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So meanwhile, in wine country, Annie meets Cowboy Nick. That's weird.
He's
for
wearing
the first...
a cowboy hat. It's weird.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. It's not really a cowboy thing. It's definitely like a vineyard thing that they like wear cowboy hat. They don't like, I don't know. I guess they do ride horses, et cetera. It's like, it's definitely a different kind of cowboy than like Texas, you know?
Yeah, but I like seeing
like
Dennis
chill.
Quaid in like a big truck, like with a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It's like, this is weird.
Oh, it is weird. Okay, so they meet for the first time, and on their drive home, Annie realizes that she should probably tone it down on the advanced vocabulary and the overuse of the word dad. She just keeps saying the word dad at the
yeah.
end of every single sentence, dad. So Chessie and Sammy's the dog, instantly notice that something's off about Annie, but Chessie just lets it slide. The dog does not. The dog
beautiful
knows.
Golden retriever.
That dog is so cute. And
he's
he
so pretty.
He just like barks at her the whole time. Like he's never comfortable with her, with Annie, like he normally is with Hallie, because like mm-hmm. dogs know, I guess. And
Birdie would never know.
You wouldn't.
I have no idea.
Out by the pool, Annie is introduced to Meredith Blake, Nick's new young girlfriend. Chessie and Annie both have serious questions about Meredith's motives. I just need to go through the logistics here for a second. It was another hashtag Miranda does the math, like we did last week for Step Up. So Elizabeth and Nick were 23 and 24 in 1986 when they got married. And I know this because I screenshotted their marriage license that they were mm-hmm. signing at the beginning. Their jobs are listed as artist and viticulturist, which is so vague.
That was on one of the, like, fun facts I saw,
yeah.
and I'm just like, what?
Yeah, a viticulturist is, like, that's not a job, but it's
what fine. What is it? Is that, like,
that means
someone
like,
interested in vines?
Yeah, like, you know, like, horticulture?
Yeah, okay.
Horticulture, excuse me. It's like that, but for vineyards.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. And...
Yeah, couldn't you just say, like... Their vineyard owner or something.
Yeah. And their marriage says solemnized at, and then it's a blank, and then, so it says solemnized at, and then the blank says at sea. So it says at twice, which I just thought was funny.
Ugh.
And this was...
They, like, met on the boat and then got married on the boat. Like, it was very quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're 23 and she got pregnant.
No, I am 20... I would not make those stupid decisions. Actually, no, I would. Anyway, moving forward.
So, yeah. And this was 11/12 years ago. So, it's like 11 years, 9 months. We don't know how far they were into 23 and 24. Anyway, so they're now, like, between the ages of 34 and 36. At most, Nick can be 36. And when we meet Meredith, she is 26 years old. So, at most, it's a 10-year age difference, which is half the age difference of my own parents.
Yeah.
My parents are 19 years apart. So, like, this is, it doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was that, like, because she, like, throws a fit later and talks about how, like, she thinks she, it has to be some kind of, she basically...
It's a maturity situation. Like, there's clearly a difference in maturity and then also clearly a difference in, like, motives.
Yeah, but, like, later she...
Because they keep saying, like, oh, there's a million reasons why.
Yeah, like, he has all this money. But, and like, Hallie later, or Annie, as Hallie later, like, when her dad is explaining things about Meredith to her, she, like, assumes he's going to adopt her.
No, I think she was just
it was a joke, but, like, yeah, but even still, like, the fact that, like, that would be something that... I don't know. Like, I just didn't think it was as, like...
That's what she thought.
That, at this point, I feel like is where the movie has aged, for sure. Like, I don't feel like this is that weird anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it also wasn't that weird back then, because, like, my parents...
Yeah, but, like... I remember when I was a kid thinking, like, oh, yeah, she's, like, this younger gold digger kind of thing. And it's,
when,
like...
When you're younger. Because, like, someone being, like, 2 years older than you is, like, someone a lot older than you when you're 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
But those things sort of even out, you know? Yeah. So your gauge for that is a lot different.
But, like, as a 25-year-old female, there... I mean, like, you know. I feel like 36-year-old men...
Seems very old.
Might have just gotten the level, you know, the maturity is, like, evening out. Okay. Anyway, so that night, Annie calls Hallie to tell her about the new girlfriend problem, but Hallie is too wrapped up in getting to know her mom to be bothered.
Yeah, Hallie's just, like, up in the clouds, living her best life in London, and I can't say I blame her.
No, but, like, hey, just FYI, there's this lady here that this is going to be your problem pretty soon. Annie calls Hallie in London to tell her about the new girlfriend problem, but Hallie is too wrapped up in getting to know her mom to be bothered. The next morning in Napa, when Annie attempts to bring up conversation about her mother to her dad, Nick attempts to bring the conversation to Meredith. They go horseback riding together, and when Annie senses her dad is about to bring up his relationship with Meredith again, she rolls back and takes off on her horse and runs on foot back to the house. As she attempts to talk herself down from her panic attack, Chessie pops up on the sofa and asks what in the world is going on. Annie attempts to deflect and write off her new oddities as summer camp growth. But Chessie slips and almost mentions Annie, and Annie confesses her true identity.
Ooh, ooh,
so,
ooh,
ooh, an ooh. Issue I have with this scene, so with Chessie, like, kind of being like, if I didn't know better, I would almost think you were, and then Annie's like, you think I'm Annie? I am Annie. But, like, how would Chessie know what Annie's actually like? Because she hasn't seen her since she was, like, an infant. So
no,
how would
she
know anything about her personality?
Since she's an infant, but she knows that she was, like, educated in England and that, like, her mom is a big deal. And, like, so she's probably really, like, proper and, like, smart and everything. And, yeah, so she, like, she knows how Liz is because she's met Liz. So she probably assumes that Annie is similar to Liz.
Yeah, I think it would have been kind of cuter if she was like, if I didn't know better, I would say you were like Liz or something, you know, like
yeah, you were like your mom.
Yeah, like you were like your mom. And then for her to be like, well, I'm Annie, so, like, that, you know, I think that would have been really cute.
Yeah.
Versus, like, oh, you're just like Annie. It's like, you don't fucking know Annie.
You don't know me.
Yeah.
So after Chessie runs off in hysterics upon realizing that the child in their home is not Hallie and is, in fact, Annie, it seems like a bigger deal, but it's fine. Nick steps in.
She's the only person who reacts like a normal human being.
To finally talk about Meredith. He tells her that he plans to marry Meredith, get it, rather than adopt her, and Annie loses her shit and begins ranting in French, which, I mean, haven't we all? She runs to the backyard just as Meredith pulls in the driveway, and she offers to chat with Annie woman to woman. The two girls have a very straightforward conversation where Meredith tells Annie that she's going to marry Nick, come hell or high water, and Annie essentially calls her bluff. I thought it was so, we kind of mentioned this earlier, but I thought it was hilarious that Annie pretended that she thought her dad was going to adopt Meredith. That was so funny to me, and I definitely didn't think that, like, she was serious.
Yeah, all. I think when I was a kid,
But the best jokes have a bit of truth.
And, like, the first time I ever saw, like, how on, like, on top of it, like, how, like, sharp. Once, yeah, Maybe. How, yeah, thank you. How, like, sharp do you have to, like, be able to be, like, oh, okay, yeah, you're gonna adopt her. Like, I would never think of something like that. But I, yeah, that was hilarious. Also, the fact that Meredith waltzes in with a fucking bell, and Chessie's just like, I'm gonna punch you in the motherfucking face. Yeah. Like, this hoe, right here.
And, like, Chessie's clearly worked for them.
Like, she's a member of their family. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have a secret handshake, but, like, her and the dog seem to be pretty close. Back in London... Oh, go ahead.
Do you want me to go, or do you?
No, it's my turn.
Okay.
Back in London, Hallie sees a 911 fax come through. How you know does it's Annie know? It's a fax. Annie has her fax number memorized, thank God. So she runs out of the house to a payphone to call Annie to... who tells her that they need to get their parents together pronto in the same location if they want to stop Nick's impending nuptials.
Impending nuptials is, like, a real interesting phrase. Like, there's really a sense of, like, doom.
I mean, I would feel, like, she's gonna send her to boarding school. I mean,
in Timbuktu.
But, like, honestly, couldn't she just go live with her mom? Like, they could both just be happy with the mom.
Don't know.
It sounds like the best case scenario.
But that's really, like, that would really be Nate. Is that his name? Nick. Nick. Accepting defeat, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, then you leave Chessie and Sammy in such a shitty environment. You just can't do that. Grandpa is waiting for Hallie outside of the booth, totally privy to her secret.
Those booths are not soundproof.
No. And she, like, rams him when she gets out, which is very rude. Exist, but it's fine. Yeah, aren't they just, like, kind of novelties?
In 1998.
Yeah, I mean, I think payphones were still a thing in 98.
Yeah.
When they get back to the house, Hallie tells Liz who she actually is. They decide they must exchange the children back to their rightful owners in San Francisco.
Yeah, because Liz is, like,
she literally an adult. Says, like, you belong to me, or Annie belongs to me, and you belong to your dad. Like, belong what might not be the best
kind
word.
Kind of mother.
Yeah.
Are you kidding
me? And, like, you have this kid who, like, has been, like, longing for you her whole life, and you're just like, you belong to your dad. Like, sorry. Like,
sorry, this is how things are.
Yeah.
Like,
and that, like, you're denying your sibling, you know, you're denying a sibling to your child. Like, it's
Which
just
they do know. They're like, oh, we're going to have them see each other on Easter and Christmas. And it's like,
but then they end up deciding at the hotel, they're like, oh, okay, so she's going to come and then we'll switch back. It's like, oh, so you actually didn't care about them being able to see each other.
I just truly don't understand.
It's such a disaster. Homeschooling people.
The whole thing. Okay.
So they... Liz is not handling the prospect of seeing the father of her children again after 11 years very well. And little does she know that he has no idea she is coming.
No, she's like a mess. She's like drinking and chain smoking with like her hair up in rollers. Like,
it's kind of amazing. And like Martin is...
I loved it.
Like...
I loved it.
I always loved
seeing her character.
Like oh, yeah. Completely.
It's so realistic.
Completely. But, like, Martin kind of gives you, like, this is terrible because this is like a terrible stereotype, but kind of like gives off like the gay best friend.
Yeah, I thought but he was then, gay for sure.
Yeah, but then he's not, which is great. Like, he's just an awesome best friend.
He's just British.
But like, and also that dress that he picked is like totally Natasha Richardson, totally yeah. hot British. Like, yeah. I just loved it.
It was a great dress.
It was a good dress.
Yeah, so Annie, Nick, Chessie, Sammy, and Meredith, oh my god, the whole gang, and her parents have arrived, Meredith's parents, have arrived at the hotel in San Francisco on the pretense that they are checking out the place as a wedding venue. Sure. Liz steps out of the limo completely trashed and makes her way somehow, I do not know how, to the check-in desk.
You have a butler. Send him to do it.
True, yeah. So Nick steps into the elevator, and as the doors are closing, Liz turns around and the two make eye contact for the first time in 11 years, literally, like, as Nick is making out with Meredith.
But, like, how funny would it have been if, like, they, like, really pushed the drunk thing with Liz and, like, she's, like, cross-eyed.
Yeah, that would
like,
be funny.
Like, wait, what? And she's just like,
Kind of hold it a little bit. Not really, but a little bit. So Liz realizes that she's been duped and that Nick was definitely not expecting to see her, which is a little presumptuous, but whatever. So in her hotel room, the twins fill their mom in on what is going on with their new fiance and all that, and she makes it clear that she is only there to get her rightful kid back, which is such a bad phrase to say, her rightful kid.
But that's like, exactly what happened.
Yeah, I know, but it's so messed up.
In the hotel bar, Liz has decided to puke and rally, and she unknowingly meets Meredith when Meredith creeps on her check and then begs for a wedding dress. Nick is frantically searching the hotel for Liz and ends up tripping and falling into the pool. The twins, Liz and Nick, all get caught up, and Meredith even gets brought into the mix. Later that evening, the girls take their parents to a yacht that they have rented out. In an attempt
their
to...
Their grandfather has rented out.
Yeah, their allowance plus grandpa has rented mostly out. Grandpa. Mostly grandpa. Has rented out.
Maybe it was their poker money.
Yeah, I was thinking it's their college tuition. In an attempt to recreate the night that their parents met. The girls leave the adults alone to hopefully rekindle their romance. Sparks fly also between Chessie and Martin, because why only have one transcontinental relationship in this movie?
Who knows? As they were about to leave the next morning, the girls refuse to be separated and propose they all go on the, as promised, end of summer camping trip. It just seems just so much. Like, cut the plot somewhere here.
Yeah, we could have, like, ended this at the hotel.
Yeah, we didn't need this, but it's fine. So back in Napa, we needed a chance for, like, Meredith to show her her true colors. So back in Napa, Meredith is uncomfortable with Liz joining the camping trip, to which Liz gladly offers up her place to Meredith. While they're hiking, Meredith quickly becomes winded, same, and Hallie plays a prank on her by putting a lizard on Meredith's water bottle, doubling down, following her freak out. Hallie places the lizard on Meredith's head, inciting a full-on meltdown because the lizard, like, climbs down her face and into her mouth, which is just disgusting. Like, that's, oh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
But, like, she could have just, like, so picked much. It off of her head. And,
like, I know, but she just, like, freaked out. She panicked. I relate. and Meredith continues to bitch and whine about the living conditions of the wilderness until she takes a fat sleeping pill and passes out for the night. They literally, like, mention, she's like, I'm gonna take a giant sleeping pill and see you later.
Yeah, which is what I would have done, completely.
Reset for the high score.
What?
A reset for the high score the next day.
Yes. I can definitely relate to Meredith throughout the camping scene.
Yes.
Same. All of them. I am not a camper, so I get it. I mean, the hiking thing...
I would be a mad camper, not a happy camper.
Yeah, no, completely not. I'm not a great camper. Everybody who has seen me knows. But during the night, the girls drag Meredith's air mattress into the lake, cueing a massive meltdown at sunrise. She stomps to the shore and gives Nick an ultimatum. Her or his children. He obviously chooses his daughter over some shit.
Obviously.
Yeah, because that's what normal people do.
Yes.
Back at the compound, Nick and Liz have a special night in where he shows her his wine cellar and collection of wine. They drank on their wedding night, telling her that he now owns every bottle ever made, which is, like, super romantic. Liz pulls away, afraid to let him back into her life, which, like, I get it. And this is, like, such a, like, kind of a sad scene.
Yeah, because, like, there's a reason why they're not together anymore.
Yeah, but, like, the fact that he was, like, I went out and found every, you know, like, I've been, you know, like, I couldn't let go.
He clearly regrets it.
Yeah, like, I've been looking to have every bottle ever made because, yeah. like, I couldn't, you know, like, this is
yeah.
how I'm getting through.
The next day, Andy and Liz leave to go back to London, but when they arrive home, they find Hallie and Nick are already there somehow. They probably took, like, the Heathrow Express or something, waiting for them. And Nick tells her that he won't lose her again, and they finally kiss, and fireworks go off. They get married again and live happily ever after until they inevitably get divorced again.
Don't say that. That's so sad.
That's fine. Who's your character to keep an eye on, Olivia?
I'm going to say Chessie.
Okay, Chessie.
She seems like lots of fun.
I almost said Martin, but, like, clearly I couldn't remember his name, so, like, I didn't keep that much yeah. of an eye on him. My character to keep an eye on is Elizabeth, mainly for that scene yes, where obviously. She's, like, smoking and drinking and has her hair in rollers.
She's just, like, a queen. The coolest.
Living her best life. Like, she has that house in London by herself at 34. How old is she?
I have a feeling that Grandpa has some money.
Okay.
But
let's give her this.
No, I was thinking, like, I was, he's, like, wearing a suit in the middle of the day for, like, no reason. It was just
very British.
I was, that house is just gorgeous. The fact that she's just living in it, she has a butler, she has a driver.
It's true.
She's living my life, my best life.
Same. So my Great. Rating for this, I feel like I'm gonna give this, like, a, honestly, like, 4.5. I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I loved it when I was little. I still loved it now. It was good.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay.
So that averages out to a 4, which is pretty strong for us.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Sorry, I had this tab open and then it just disappeared on me.
It happens all the time. Let me pull up the game that I have really quickly because we have a fun little game.
So, just in case you're keeping tabs.
No one is, but it's fine.
No, that's mean. This movie ranked in the same realm as She's the Man and High School Musical 2. I thought it was My Date with the President's Daughter. I'm like, excuse me? Cheetah Girls 2, High School Musical 2, and She's the Man all ranked 4.0s. Oh, incredible. And Space Jam and Legally Blonde.
Great.
What great company.
Yeah. So we have a really quick game. It's 6 questions, and it's A or B situation. So, it is a celebrity's secret twin question. So I'm going to give you 2 celebrities, and you have to tell me which one of these celebrities has a twin.
Okay.
Okay. So number one, it's, and then you say A or B. Do you understand the rules of the game?
Sure.
You agree?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Agree.
Number one, Mila Kunis or Ashton Kutcher?
Which one has a twin?
Which one has a twin?
Ashton Kutcher.
Nailed it. Correct.
Boom. I don't think it's identical, though.
It's most of these aren't identical. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're celebrities. Yeah. They're not identical twins. Number two, Scarlett Johansson or Penelope Cruz?
Scarlett Johansson.
Nailed it.
This is the shit I know.
This is crazy, though.
Hers is a brother. So like, well. I know she has a brother. He's a twin.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
Number three, Giselle Bundchen or Kate Moss?
Giselle.
Oh, my God. You're nailing this.
Oh, my God. I finally found something I'm good at.
So, number four.
Brandford's song.
Number four. Elvis or Johnny Cash?
Elvis, because it's Priscilla, right?
No. Elvis is the correct answer. Okay. Elvis had a twin that was stillborn.
Okay.
Which is so sad. Elvis is a twin.
Okay, it's like I Great. Ate my twin cool. in utero.
Wow.
Anyway.
I mean, the twin was born.
No.
Okay.
Not alive.
So, Number five, you're just like nailing this. Like you are blazing through this quiz. Number five, Jesse McCartney or Aaron Carter?
Okay, Jesse McCartney.
Wrong. Aaron Carter has a twin.
There's a third Carter?
Yeah, there. Yeah, it's a girl. He's a fraternal twin girl.
Okay, I knew. Okay, and I knew they had a sister. Silly me.
Number six, is it Vin Diesel or Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Who has a twin, Olivia?
I think it's Vin Diesel.
Ooh, nailed it. So you got five out of six on that quiz, which is the best that you've ever done.
I know. In life.
Love that I was able to trip you up with Jesse McCartney.
Yeah.
I really tried to, like, match up these people.
Yeah.
Like, to make it so it would make sense that I was doing,
except like, two of these people. Except for Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. So what I did to find the other people was I, like, typed in the persons, like, for Ashton Kutcher.
People
I typed
who
in,
search
like,
for Scarlett Johansson.
Typed in Ashton Kutcher, and then it's, like, people will also search for the Google part, and that's where I got everyone from.
That's weird. Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz. Because, like, I feel like Penelope Cruz is, like, significantly older. Like, she's gorgeous,
I also
but,
thought
like,
that you'd be like,
older.
Oh, it's probably Penelope Cruz because she's less famous. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you nailed that. That was great.
But I actually but I honestly knew that Scarlett Johansson had a twin. So and it's a brother. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. The useless bullshit. I know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that. That's all we have. Let's do our plugs really quickly.
All right.
For the end, thanks for listening, you guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, and next week, we'll be doing royal wedding coverage with our own personal coverage of
the royal wedding will not have happened yet.
Whatever.
So we can't
it'll be
really
our pre-royal wedding coverage with...
Themed.
A Cinderella story.
Yeah. I wanted The Prince and Me, but... She wouldn't let me. A Prince and Me? I don't even know what the movie is called, TBH, but I've watched it before. And I feel like it applies more, but it's fine. We're doing A Cinderella Story starring Hilary Duff and Chad Michael Murray.
I thought you were going to say Chad Michael Michaels. Or what? Isn't that Blades of
Chad
Glory?
Chad Michaels?
I think it's Chad Michael Michaels in Blades of Glory.
Oh, maybe.
But
I don't know.
Anyway. Very excited.
In the meantime, check us out on our website, which is tbtamp.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at tbtamp.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe. So rate us on the Apple Podcast app. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Give us 5 stars. You don't even have to write anything.
Yeah.
Also,
there might be other podcast apps too, but like, we don't know, you know?
Yeah, sure. Tell a friend. Spread the word of TBTAMP as you would the word of Jesus Christ.
Or even more.
Charity starts at home, friends, and
we
are home. We're home base, and we are in desperate need of charity. We accept charity.
Speaking of charity, you can also shop for stickers, pillowcases, which is weird, and phone cases at our Redbubble page, which you can find the link on our website or in the show notes. It's like redbubble.com/shop/TBTMP, something like that.
And
it'll be linked.
If you want to follow me, Olivia, on Instagram or Twitter, you can follow me at MacIsCheesy, M-A-C-K is cheesy.
And you can find me, Miranda, at Miranda Johnson, M-A-R-A-N-D-A-J-O-H-N-Z-O-N.
Perfect.
If you missed it, we also did a special little mini-sode on Tuesday that's all about the Jonas Brothers, IMAX, and also the Lizzie McGuire movie. So if those things interest you, you should definitely go listen to our mini-sode that we put up on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday!